Welcome back, everyone. We are wrapping up April over here, heading into May, and we are right in the middle of our 3 days to 1K challenge that I know many of you listening to this might also be a part of. So there's a lot going on over here, and I'm sure there's a lot going on in your world too. When is there not, though, right? I don't know about you, but when we have a lot of extra things happening in our world, I feel like I can sort of drop the ball on some things, as is the nature of being busy. And then the mom guilt starts to creep in. And another time in my life that I really felt the sting of mom guilt was when we were newly on our debt payoff journey. And it felt like I was having to say no a lot to my kids. You know, as moms, we're not immune to the comparison trap. And I would compare my family's ability to say yes to what other families were able to say yes to. And that made the whole thing feel so much harder. I mean, it's challenging in and of itself to pay off debt, but it's so much more challenging when you add mom guilt on top of that. So for today, I'm going to share 4 things that we focused on each day to connect with our kids that had nothing to do with spending money, nothing to do with the latest tech gadget that our kids were asking about, nothing to do with an expensive family vacation, and nothing to do with whatever video games all the other kids had. So these 4 things allowed us to come back to what we feel like really matters, and it helped me ditch the mom guilt over being on a budget. So let's just go ahead and get to it.
Hey friend, welcome to Money Mindful Moms. I'm Krista Nalgian, wife and mom, and firm believer that moms with money skills will change the world. I know that you are sick of feeling limited by money, but you also don't want to wait until your kids are older to be able to do fun experiences with them. You want to find a way to transform your relationship with money once and for all. If you're ready to ditch debt, have overflow at the end of each month, and be able to spend money on what's most important to you, you're in the right place. Pop in those earbuds, go reheat your coffee. It's time to dive in.
Okay, so I still have my raspy voice going on over here, and I swear I'm not sick again. This is the same thing that my voice just, this is what it sounds like now, I guess. This is my new voice, guys. No, I hope not. It's just taken a while to work its way out of my system to where I sound normal again. So you're getting raspy voice Krista again today. So I hope you don't mind. But anyways, why does it feel like mom guilt has so many different ways that she can show up, right? I wonder what type of mom guilt, though, our moms had. I feel like I should ask my mom this question, honestly. But if I had to guess, I would say that there was the classic working mom guilt versus stay-at-home mom guilt that we still talk about today, which I hate and I wish wasn't a thing, but here we are. But I don't know what else there would be beyond that. Really? I mean, today I've seen everything from Pinterest mom guilt, meaning you aren't one of those moms who does all the crafts or throws really great parties, to PTA mom guilt, meaning you can't, or maybe you choose not to help out as much at your child's school as some other parents do, and so many more things that can make us feel like we're just not doing enough as moms. So add in being on a budget when your resources to do a lot of things is also going to be pretty limited, right? And that can present a whole other set of emotions. Now, I do have 4 things for you today that will hopefully help, but before we get to those, I have a question for you that's sort of a reflection question. So if you're in a place that you want to write some things down, please do. If you just need some space to think about this, feel free to just pause the episode and just sort of let your mind wander on this one. If you're not at a place where you can write things down, just having some space to think might be helpful too. So the question is, if you were lucky enough to have a good childhood, how much money did your parents spend on you? I don't mean a vague answer here like, oh, we had a lot of money, so my parents spent a lot of money, or we didn't have much, so they didn't spend a lot. I mean specifically, specifically. Think about it for a second and feel free to pause if you need to. Two things are coming to my mind. First, I'm guessing that you never really thought about it in that much detail, which that tells me that it wasn't really that important to you, how much money they spent on you. It didn't leave a lasting impression. Let's just put it that way. The second thing is, I'm guessing most of you have no idea how much money they spent on you now that you are actually thinking about it. You're like, I don't know, Krista, how the heck would I know? How would I know how much they spent on our clothes or camps or whatever? The point I'm trying to make is that we think that our kids care about how much we're able to spend on them, but they don't. They really don't. You may be making this issue mean something that it doesn't. It just doesn't. So what can you focus on instead? Like, you want to connect with your kids, especially when maybe you're not signed up for a ton of activities or taking lots of family trips because you're on a budget. So how can you connect with your kids? So here are four things that you can do each and every day. You ready? These are super simple. Let's go. Let's get to it. So number one is find a way to make them laugh. You probably know that your kid's sense of humor, so this will look different for each child. You could tell them a joke. This usually works for my son. Telling him a joke usually will do the trick. For my oldest, one of my favorite things to do is to share with her one of the cute or funny things that she said as a toddler. She loves to hear about the cute and funny things that she did. When she was a toddler, she was saying all of those hilarious things that are probably not hilarious to anyone but her parents. But to us, it was so funny. So I picked up a small notebook and I started writing down the funny things that she said along with the dates so that I would remember. Now, I will be totally honest. I wish that I had been more diligent with this, but there were so many things that I was like, oh, I'll remember that or I'll write it later. And I never did. So I wish that it was a more complete collection of her funny things. But I also will see sometimes on my Facebook memories, it'll share something with me that I had forgotten about that she said or whatever. And I usually try to make a point to tell her, like, oh, by the way, this popped up in my memories today and I wanted to share it with you and just laugh about it. And for our toddler humor is pretty easy, right? Like, you can just make the standard silly faces, you're pretending to fall down or something silly like that. It usually makes her laugh. It does the trick. Our days are full of obligations. I'm sure your days are too. And sometimes we have heavy stuff and theirs can feel heavy too. So connecting through humor and laughter is an easy way to lighten that for the whole family. The second thing that you can do is to ask your child to share something that they're interested in with you. I'm not gonna lie, this one is really tough for me because it usually involves them going on like a very long tangent about whatever characters they're interested in the moment, which are usually not things that I am also interested in. I remember when my son went through a Minecraft phase and I would lay next to him and he would just go on and on for what felt like forever about different characters and what he was building. And I was trying to follow, but I was so lost and had no idea what he was talking about. And I'm happy that he loved it, but I didn't love it so much. But I love him, and so I was willing to do that, and I knew that it made him so happy. The same thing with my oldest. She's a big reader, and she went through a dragon book phase, like obsessed with these books, and trying to explain any books to someone never quite translates, but especially dragon books, you guys, okay? Even so, she loved it, so I listened intently because it was a quick connection that I could make with her to make her feel heard and loved and cared about. Listen, I didn't say this was going to be easy, okay? All right, so we're making progress. All right, number three. The third thing is to ask your child to share something that they're learning. So this one was fun for me because it gave me a glimpse into things that they were doing that I might not be around for when they're at school or they're at their various activities. So here's some examples of this. You can have them tell you about a lesson from school. I know for us, like right now, my husband, who is my daughter's teacher, happens to be his teacher this year, or her happens to be her teacher this year. They're doing a personal finance lesson. So that was a cool thing for me to talk to her about at dinner. So have them tell you about a lesson from school. Have them show you a part of a dance from a dance class if they're in a dance class, or a song from their music lesson, or maybe a new drill that they're learning if they're involved in sports. So just have them show you what it is that they're learning at whatever activity it is that they like to spend their time on, and bonus points if they can try to teach you whatever it is. And that's just one extra layer to that connection. You can have them show you the books that they picked out from the school library and share why they chose them, or even ask them if there's a topic that they've been wanting to learn about, and you guys can come up with a plan for them to learn more on that particular subject. We all love sharing about something that we're excited to do, right? So this allows them to share, and it gives you more insight into what they're learning when you're not right there with them. I have really seen my kids' personalities shine on this one when I ask them what they're excited to learn, and it really just gives me a glimpse into a little bit more about who they are as individual people. And the fourth thing is to spend at least 5 minutes together as a whole family before bed. Like we've mentioned, life is crazy busy for all of us. I know that this is not like totally possible every single night of the week. I get that. The older my kids get, the more directions it feels like we're pulled in. You know, my oldest is going to be starting high school next year, and then I can only imagine how different things are going to be to our schedule. But we try as often as possible to spend at least 5 minutes together, all five of us. Particularly at the end of the day. In this season, we're pretty fortunate that we can usually do dinner together every night, usually, not always, but usually. And then we try to do at least 5 more minutes in addition to that. So for a season, we were into doing a family dance party every night. So each kid would choose a song and then we would all dance to it before we started in on our bedtime routine. It was just kind of a fun way for us to all be silly together, get some wiggles out, have that time together, all five of us together, and then go about our bedtime routine. We didn't have to like have this huge crazy plan. It was just they knew that we were doing a dance party every night. And then it kind of evolved into reading aloud as a family, which is one of my absolute favorite things to do. We always did reading before bed with each child individually when they were younger. But for a season, I really enjoyed picking out a book that I felt like both of my older kids would be interested in and then reading to both of them at the same time out in the living room. And I've even started doing that as well with my youngest. It's a little bit trickier because a lot of times she's grabbing the book out of my hand or she's not really paying attention, but I'm just trusting the process that eventually she'll get the hang of it. The reason why I think that this particular one is so important is because when my kids are grown, I believe that these little things are going to be the things that they remember, not the things that we bought them or even possibly the trips that we took, but the little day-to-day things that we did to spend time together, I believe that those are the things that they're going to remember. And they're going to say, oh my gosh, I loved when we were little and we used to do family dance party. Oh, I loved when we were little and mom used to sit and read aloud to us. So that's just my personal belief on why that last one is so important. So I hope you're going to give these four things a try with your kids. I know that it can be hard to avoid that comparison trap, especially in the social media day and age, I know, but I believe it actually takes a lot less than we think to make our kids feel loved. As cheesy as it sounds, it's usually not the grand gestures, but the little things that we do that make all the difference. So before we wrap up this episode, would you do me a quick favor? If you have not yet left a written review for this podcast, would you just go ahead, take 1 minute right now, just pop over and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform that you are listening to this podcast on. It helps the show get seen by more moms who are looking to help change their family's financial situations. And I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that as many moms that need help get the help that they're looking for, because we're all just out here doing the very best that we can, right, with the information that we have. So I want to make sure that we get the message out to anyone that wants it. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, what you're going to do is go to the Money Mindful Moms show, scroll down to the bottom where you're going to see in small little purple writing where it says leave a review. And if you'll just hit the 5 stars and then write a quick couple of sentences sharing what you love about the show, I would so appreciate it. It would fill my bucket, as my kids would say when they were younger. So thanks, everyone. I will see you back here real soon.
If this podcast episode encouraged you, would you take just 2 minutes to rate and review the show? It really is the best way that you can say thank you. And while you're at it, take a screenshot of this episode and post it on Instagram, tag me in it, because I would love to hear from you. It really is the best way that we can get the word out to other moms who could use some encouragement. I will see you back here real soon. Be blessed and have a powerful day.